The Green Bay Packers shuffled responsibilities on their coaching staff, bringing Alex Van Pelt from the box to the field to work with Aaron Rodgers. Does this signal more change to come? We'll look for the weak spots on this Packers team with Nathan Jahnke of ProFootballFocus.com. It's all coming up on Railbird Central next. Fans, welcome to Railbird Central at 24/7 Sports and Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caravu. We're talking some Packers football this morning. We're taking one last look back at that loss to the Carolina Panthers and trying to apply the changes that need to be made to the Detroit Lions game coming up. To do that, we have a guest joining us on the phone this morning.
Expert interview.
We have Nathan Jahnke of ProFootballFocus.com joining us as he does every Wednesday. Nathan, how you doing today?
Good morning, Brian. I'm doing well. How about you?
Very good. Glad to have you on the show as always. Nathan, it seemed to me that a lot of the Packers' problems this past weekend stemmed from an inability to establish the run, kind of setting them up in a lot of third and long situations. Were the problems with the running backs or the offensive line?
I would say it's a little bit of both. If I had to pin it on one, I'd say a little more the running backs than the offensive line. On a lot of these run plays, a lot of the offensive line was doing a fine job, and then it would be one offensive lineman who had a poor block, and then that would oftentimes derail the run. And obviously, you'd like to see everyone doing a good job blocking on a given play. But you would also like to see the running back be able to do a little bit more if it's just one offensive lineman messing up. Starks was able to do a little bit more on the runs. Lacy clearly had a bad day, especially when you include that fumble. And with the offensive line, it was often a different person each time. If there was one person who did it a little bit more consistently, it was Corey Linsley. But he was also going up against all-pro players nearly every play, either on the defensive line with Quan Short or the linebackers. So I would still give Lindsay a little bit of a pass just because of who he was going up against on these plays.
Yeah, at least he's got a history of doing pretty well, and maybe it's more of an aberration than a trend with him. But speaking of the offensive line, they gave up a season-high 5 sacks. Who let the Packers down in pass protection?
It was another thing where it was often a different player each time. No one allowed more than one sack, and some of it was also Rodgers holding back the ball a little bit long. So on two of them, we didn't have it as the offensive lineman or in offensive lineman's spot. In terms of pass protection as a whole, Corey Linsley, again, probably had the worst day out of the group, but like I just said, he was going up against some strong players. He did allow one sack, one hit, and two hurries, which is a bit more than you'd like to see a center give up. But then Brian Bulaga is someone who might be a little bit more concerning, even if he had a little bit better day, allowed one sack, one hit, and three hurries in this one. And Bulaga, a lot of that came up against Colney Ealy, who isn't as good of a player. And Bulaga, on a season, hasn't been doing that great. So if there's anyone to be concerned about, I'd say it's Bulaga at this point.
Yeah, Brian Blagg was actually listed on the Packers injury report on Saturday, the day before the game. I wonder how much of that impacted his performance. But last week, there was so much attention on the topic of Green Bay Packers wide receivers not being able to get open, you know, going back to that Denver Broncos game. Did it get at all get better against the Carolina Panthers, Nathan?
I think they did a fine job rebounding in this one. They were able to take advantage of the Davante Adams versus Charles Tillman matchup a few times, which was good to see. Randall Cobb was thrown at a bit. He was at least getting open. He had a couple of drop passes as well. So his numbers weren't as good as they could have been, but he was at least getting open, even if he wasn't catching the ball every time. And then James Jones, someone who had a quiet day, but he was also going up against Josh Norman a lot, and Norman, arguably the best cornerback this season so far. So it is not that surprising that the Packers didn't try to throw to Jones too much in this one. So overall, you'd like to see Cobb not drop those passes, but I think the receiving group rebounded fine.
I love the catch by James Jones in which he converted the big fourth down. That was mostly just a hope and a prayer from Aaron Rodgers, and it was Jones who really went over Norman to get that ball. So I thought that was really neat to see. How do you look at the performance of a player like Richard Rodgers, who had the two touchdown catches, but arguably he had like two drops on one single drive that kind of, you know, drives you batty looking for consistency?
First off, those Rodgers touchdowns were definitely good plays. We graded him positively there. Also worth noting with Rodgers, he did a fine job on blocking this one too, had a couple of good plays there. And then the two plays that you mentioned that could be considered drops. At Pro Football Focus, we did not consider them drops. They were both plays where a defensive player was basically around him at the same time the ball arrived and the defender was able to knock the ball away. So while a receiver has a chance to catch the ball in those situations, their chances of making the catch are a lot lower when the defender is already there making a play when the ball is arriving. So on those plays in particular, we saw them more as good plays out of the defense rather than bad plays out of the receiver. That being said, you would like to see Rodgers having a little bit more impact in the past game. He had a couple of catches, but a lot of them were for not very many yards. So outside of those touchdowns, he didn't have much positive in the past game, and he ran 54 pass routes. So you would like to see a couple more good plays out of him, but I don't think he had really too many bad plays in this one either.
We're talking to Nathan Yonke of ProFootballFocus.com here at Railbird Central on a Wednesday morning. Nathan, on the defensive side of the football, I'm interested in getting your thoughts on a pair of players who basically saw the first extended playing time of their career in a regular season game, at least, starting with linebacker Jake Ryan. How would you say he did?
I was impressed with Jake Ryan in this one. He had a lot of plays that were stops in the run game. A lot of them, he was not blocked on those plays, which so they weren't as good as they could have been, but still definitely better to get an unblocked run stop than not getting one. And then he also had a couple of good plays against Ryan Khalil, the Panthers center, who right now we at Pro Football Focus have Khalil as the best center in the league this year. So getting good plays against the best center in the league is definitely a good thing. A couple of plays in the run game where the Panthers guards were able to block him on the second level. But there was definitely more good than bad out of Ryan in the run game. And then in the past game, he was in coverage for 17 snaps. He was only thrown at once, and he just allowed a 5-yard pass in that one. So definitely no big mistakes in coverage either. So if I were the Packers, I'd probably have Ryan take over that starting job over Palmer, since Ryan had a better game as an inside linebacker in this one than Palmer has had all season.
It was almost comical on Monday in Mike McCarthy's press conference, asked to assess the play of Jake Ryan. He's like, he did okay. You understand why Mike McCarthy says that. He wants to keep him motivated and reaching for the stars and not feeling like he has to earn it, you know. But he obviously did so much better than Palmer. It was a little bit funny to hear. But another person, anyway, I digress. Another person I'm interested in finding out from you, Nathan, Dimitri Goodson. How did he hold up in the secondary in his first extended playing time?
Goodson did not have quite as good of a day. He was thrown at four times in this one. All four of those passes were caught for 78 yards and a touchdown. It was only that touchdown play that was really bad out of him in coverage, since he had, I think, a defensive holding on that play, and then they caught the ball for the touchdown anyway. And then another two of those catches went for first down, so not quite as good of a day out of Goodson, and I'd expect him to not see as much playing time once some of these other cornerbacks get healthy again.
Hopefully they do get healthy soon. Sam Shields, Casey Hayward, Quinn Rollins, Packers an injured unit at cornerback. I think one of the bigger problems for the Packers on defense this past game was that two players that are normally playmakers were kind of invisible. And I thought those players were Clay Matthews and B.J. Raji. Do you think that's a fair assessment?
I definitely think that would be fair to say. In Raji's defense a little bit, he was double-teamed a couple times in the run game, but he also didn't really do anything positive in this game either. It was his second straight game without a stop. He only has one pressure over his past three games. So he had a strong start to the season, but he's definitely slowed down recently. And then Clay Matthews, he rushed the passer 17 times and could only come up with one hurry in this game. So when you take into account both how much he rushed the passer and how little pressure he had, this was one of his worst games rushing the passer in years. And then in coverage as well, he allowed all three passes thrown his way to be caught. Two of them ended up as first down. So not a good game out of Matthews in both pass rushing and coverage. So he's also someone who started the season pretty well but hasn't done as well recently. And right now we just grade Matthews as average over the course of the season.
Yeah, again, another guy who suffered an injury the last game, an ankle and a knee injury. You wonder how much that impacted him here. But anyway, looking forward, Nathan, despite their record, these Detroit Lions, they were a playoff qualifier last year. Are there still aspects of this team that were as dangerous as last season?
In terms of the offense, the only part that's as dangerous as last season is Calvin Johnson, and he's been dangerous every season, so I probably don't need to go too much into talking about him. Their offensive line isn't playing nearly as well as it was last year, and the line was a big reason why the Lions' offense was able to have success last season. And the offensive line play this season has led to Matthew Stafford being under pressure more, and Stafford's having one of his worst seasons and years. So on the offense, the only real thing to worry about is Calvin Johnson. On the defense, the defensive backs aren't playing as well as they were last year in general, but for the most part, they're good, with their main weakness being their slot cornerback. So I could see Randall Cobb having a big game in this one. The linebackers in general are playing well against the run. They'd be playing better if they had DeAndre Levy healthy, but the guys that they have in there currently are playing pretty well in run defense. On the defensive line, Ziggy Ansah is having a good year rushing the passer. So he is their one clear threat on the defensive line the Packers need to watch out for. Outside of him, the defensive line isn't a weakness for the Lions, since a lot of the guys are playing average football, but it's just not a strength like it had been for the Lions in the past.
Well, we're looking forward to the game. Nathan, enjoy it yourself, and we'll talk to you next week to recap the game next Wednesday.
Thank you. Sounds good, and have a good one.
All right, take care. Nathan Yonke of ProFootballFocus.com joining us as he does every Wednesday on the show here at Railbird Central. Glad to have him joining us. Glad to have you, the listener, joining us as well as we continue on with the show.
Packers news of the day.
The big news over the course of the, you know, past 24 hours or so, or you could argue going back several days here, and you'll kind of find out why this was a storyline that's now spanned several days. The Packers confirmed changes on the coaching staff yesterday with the release of their, you know, weekly media packet, indicating that quarterbacks and wide receivers coach Alex Van Pelt has moved from the coaching box, you know, basically up above the suites there, down to field level. And related, basically switching with Packers assistant offensive line coach Mike Solari, who's doing the opposite. He was at the field level. He's now gone up to the box. But, you know, this kind of represents a change here. Maybe not as drastic as a change as people want. I know there's a lot of people out there on social media calling for Mike McCarthy to take back play call. I find it so weird. I mean, it was almost, you know, probably a year ago at this time, people were just fed up. Again, on social media, maybe that shouldn't be the best indicator of anything. I should probably learn my lesson, but it, you know, a year ago, people, Mike McCarthy, you know, can make changes at halftime or anything like that. And now it seems like the same people want him back calling the plays and Tom Clements to be out. Well, that's not happening. Tom Clements is still calling plays. Mike McCarthy is still, you know, in his role as head coach, working with all three units. Now I know you see Mike McCarthy with that play call sheet. But that's been there all year. There's been no change there whatsoever. He's had that. And I don't know really why. I mean, it could just be one of those emergency situations. I think we saw during a game earlier this year. I thought the Pittsburgh Steelers were involved. Like the communication went down temporarily, so they had then none of that headset communication. And you know, they had to either relay signals or, you know, I don't know, shuttle players in and out with the plays. I'm not sure even how they accomplished it when that happened there. But I mean, it could just be a situation like that, where if all of a sudden the communication goes down, maybe Mike McCarthy takes over play calling, or maybe he just even calls the occasional play. But you know, let's Tom Clements call 99% of them. I don't know the story there, and maybe somebody needs to ask Mike McCarthy in a press conference, but still, by and large, it's Tom Clements calling the plays. But what this change does is, and this was kind of brought to light in an article at ESPN.com. I know we linked to it at 24/7 Sports in our column there on the coaching changes, if you want to go read it. But as Rob Domofsky reported, this basically allows Alex Van Pelt to talk to Aaron Rodgers or the quarterbacks on the sideline in between series. So, you know, when the Packers defense is out on the field and Aaron Rodgers wants to, you know, look at the plays from the previous series and see what went good, what went bad, and just talk things out with them. And before that was Tom Clements and Mike McCarthy. Kind of acknowledge, it's kind of interesting. Here's the backstory here. Mike McCarthy actually hinted at this change he now has a weekly podcast. It's not like Mike McCarthy's taking the time out of his day to record and things like that. It's basically Larry McCarron is the host or whatever, and the guide for the show. And Mike McCarthy joins him. But Mike McCarthy hinted that there was change on the coaching staff prior to even the Panthers game, but was rather vague about it, didn't get into specifics. And we learned what these changes were in the Panthers game when Alex Van Pelt was down there on the field level. And Mike McCarthy had talked about maybe putting too much on Tom Clements' plate. And this basically unburdens him from you know, talking with Aaron Rodgers and the other players in between series, and basically allows Tom Clements more time to game plan. You know, rather than talking things through, he's devising the plan for the next series. Okay, what plays are we going to call? How are we going to attack the opponent's defense? Things like that. It allows him more time to focus on that, because really, I mean, you don't know how much time you have. When the offense comes off the field, I mean, it could be a three and out, and 2 minutes later you're back out there. I mean, you never really know how long. It could be a really long drive, and you're standing there for several minutes. So, whatever the case, it's you know, that I use the word unburdening. Tom Clements to think more and plan and game plan, devise schemes, whatever he's got to do in preparation for the next time the Packers possess the football. And I think this can't hurt. That's my take on it. I mean, you've got here at the midway point in the season through eight games, the Packers, I believe, ranked, if I'm correct, they ranked 26th in the NFL in passing offense, which is unfathomable for a team with Aaron Rodgers at quarterback. like how far they've fallen off in the passing game. And of course, a lot of it having to do with missing Jordy Nelson. But still, even you know, factoring that into account, 26th in the NFL in passing offense. I mean, it's weird to see that from a Mike McCarthy coach team. I mean, they're always up in the top 10 annually, you know, for years. And on top of that, I think 25th in the NFL in total offense and, you know, rushing, you know, totals usually dwarf what happens in the passing game. But still, you know, 25th in the NFL in total offense, doing okay in scoring offense. I think they're 10th in the NFL in that department. Just need to, you know, do things like possess the ball a little bit more, convert third downs, stay on the field longer. Once they start doing that, they'll be in better shape. After this game against the Carolina Panthers, I kind of talked about the infinity loop of problems that they can't seem to break. You know, it started with, you know, not being able to establish the run. When you can't establish the run, you put yourselves in third and 10 or longer, like they were this past week against the Carolina Panthers. In the first half, it was third and 11, third and 12. There was a third and 17. When you got that, you aren't going to convert third downs. It just, you know, those you need receivers to get downfield, and plays take too long to develop when receivers got to, you know, run past the sticks that far. It just, you're not going to convert very many. You'll convert a few, but not that many. So again, you can't establish the run. You're in third and long. That means they're not converting third downs. That means they're not moving the chains. They're not maintaining possession of the football, which in turn is giving the ball back to the opponent. They get ahead. And it's just an infinite loop if you can't start establishing the run. And you're just putting yourself in a poor position for the pass. It's somewhere they got to break the loop. And it starts with establishing the run to get yourself in better down and distance situations if you're the Green Bay Packers. So, you know, lots of issues for this Packers offense, from the running game to the passing game. To issues, you know, changes they've made on the coaching staff. A lot of things that they're trying to fix. I mean, they've made the change. They're maybe not taking it as far as some people want, but they're in the midst of change. But anyway, I think it's good to have Alex Van Pelt, a guy who not only coaches Aaron Rodgers, coaches the quarterbacks as well as wide receivers, for him to be down at the field level, being able to talk to, you know, many players, being able to talk through things, you know, what's happening out there, what are you seeing, what can we do better, that's only going to help as well. So can't hurt in terms of the Packers coaching staff. But the other news yesterday, one kind of small note here. The Packers added defensive lineman Eric Kroom to their practice squad in order to make room for him. They released defensive lineman Justin Hamilton, who really wasn't with the team all that long. I think he had just been signed 2 or 3 weeks ago. But the Packers deciding he wasn't up to snuff and decided to make another move here. And what the notable thing about this transaction, I thought, Eric Kroom is an ex-Jaguars player. He's a rookie that spent training camp with the Jaguars, was cut at the end of training camp, didn't make their 53-man roster. But this kind of extends the history of the Packers taking ex-Jaguars cast-offs and trying to develop them. And it's kind of interesting how often the Packers have done this, and it's not like they're turning these guys into Pro Bowl players, but just take a look at the list in the past, you know, four years, I'd say, of the guys the Packers have brought in from, you know, guys the Jaguars have cut. We're talking about safety Chris Banjo, who's still currently on the Packers team. We're talking about running back DeJuan Harris, who was with the Packers for a while, now gone. And same with wide receiver Jarrett Boykin. Again, with the Packers for several seasons, now no longer with the team. But in terms of, you know, a mid-season pickup for the Packers, if the Packers can develop Eric Kroom to be a contributor on the level of a Chris Banjo or a DeJuan Harris or a Jarrett Boykin, if they can get that kind of production out of him eventually, obviously he's only on the practice squad right now, but if they can, you know, develop him like they developed these guys, that this would be a great signing. You know, again, not a Pro Bowl player, but for a guy who was on the street at midseason, you know, he's obviously the 2,000th best player in the NFL. You know, if nobody in the NFL thought he was worthy of being signed up until now, that's why we keep this in perspective here. We're not expecting the Packers to get a Pro Bowler out of this. Just a guy who can come in and contribute and be part of the team is all you hope for. And maybe that's what the Packers do here with a guy like Eric Kroom. So notable practice squad signing on Tuesday. But continuing on here.
The day ahead.
In the world of the Green Bay Packers this Wednesday, interesting that tight end Andrew Quarles is eligible to return to practice starting today. This comes exactly 6 weeks to the day after he was placed on injured reserve with the designation to return. The only Packers player on the entire roster who can receive such a designation this season. Each NFL team gets one player they can bring off injured reserve, and one and only one. And you got to appoint that player when he goes on. You don't get to choose afterwards or anything like that. So Andrew Quarles eligible to return. There's no rule that he has to return if he's not ready or anything like that. The rules state you can't practice until 6 weeks, and you can't play until after 8. So simply eligible to practice now for 2 weeks. The first game he's eligible to return won't be until that Week 12 matchup with the Chicago Bears on Thanksgiving, so won't be able to suit up until then. But taking the steps necessary, presumably, if he returns today to return to practice, he reportedly suffered a sprained MCL. This happened week 3 of the season. This came in the game against the Kansas City Chiefs. And normally the time frame for return is 4 to 6 weeks from a sprained MCL. You know, Brian Bulaga suffered one earlier this season for the Packers, and he came back even sooner. So you would think, you know, after 6 weeks here, Andrew Quarles is basically, he should be ready to practice. And this should be a good thing for him. Take it step by step. He gets to practice for 2 weeks, kind of test that knee out and bring him along a little bit slowly, a little bit gradually, and hopefully ready to be integrated back into the Packers roster in time for that Thanksgiving game against the Chicago Bears. When the Packers do that, they're going to have to make a roster move somehow. And again, I mean, sometimes those moves can be made for you. You know, where all of a sudden a player suffers a season-ending injury, knock on wood, we don't hope, you know, for that, but those things happen. But if not, then they might have to cut a player. So I'm not into predicting who they're going to cut, because I'll let things play out for 2 weeks and see who gets through the games healthy. And you know, we'll find out in two weeks. I would take a stab at who maybe the Packers have to cut, but not until then. But yeah, I think this is a very good thing for the Packers, because they desperately need depth, if nothing else, at the tight end position. I think Richard Rodgers has been okay. He had the nice 2-touchdown game here this past game. He's a guy who can't gain any separation, however. He can't gain any yards after the catch. He's an adequate blocker at best, although coming off a game in which he blocked fairly well against the Carolina Panthers. But, you know, game to game on a consistent basis, it's just not there with him. And I really think, you know, beyond Richard Rodgers, the options beyond him are even worse. I think Justin Perillo is a fringe NFL player. He's got a little bit of speed to be a threat in the receiving game, but it's not even that good. And obviously, Kennard Backman, the rookie, is just not ready. The Packers have tried, you know, when Andrew Corliss first got hurt, they tried playing Backman a little bit. He got a cup of tea in a few games, but he's back to going on their, you know, game day inactive list. That they just don't trust him yet, and understandably so. He was a sixth-round draft pick. He wasn't expected to be a stud coming in, just a guy you can hope they can develop down the road. So they're in need of some help, and I've always thought that Andrew Corliss, while again, not a Pro Bowler, an All-Pro or anything like that, has been a reliable player for the Packers, especially in light of that, you know, devastating injury he suffered way back. We're talking, the 2011 season? You know, he goes on injured reserve last year. He's on injured reserve the entire next season. It would just, you know, really set him back. This was a tough, tough thing to get through for him. And I think despite that, he's finally, you know, in 2014, 2015, finally getting back to being himself. And he's, again, not a guy who's going to stretch the field, but he's a reliable receiver. And he's a better blocker than Richard Rodgers. Maybe not a great blocker, but better. So I think there's a lot of things Andrew Corliss offers this team that the Packers can look forward to. So again, step in the right direction here. If it happens, like I said, there's no rule saying Andrew Corliss has to practice, but he's eligible to return for the first time. We'll maybe find out more later today when head coach Mike McCarthy holds his, you know, Wednesday press conference, 10:30 a.m. Central Time, streams live at Packers.com if you're interested in watching. I don't know what McCarthy's going to be asked or he's going to be talk about. If he's going to be talking about Andrew Corliss at all, we'll find out. But that'll do it for today's show. Thank you, everybody, so much for joining us here at Railbird Central on a Wednesday morning. Thanks to Nathan Yonke for joining us on the show, joining us as he does on a weekly basis. So we'll see you later, folks. You know what? I'm going to have a new call to action today. You know, normally I'm asking you to go on iTunes. I just want to alert people that you can go out and get the app at 24/7 Sports. I haven't really promoted this too much, and I feel like it's time that I should, because I don't think there's a lot of people out there. And I'm not sure. Maybe it's not available for Android yet. I know they were working on it. Yeah, you can check it out. Just in your app store or whatever, however you download apps on your mobile phone, just type in 24/7 Sports and sign up. And you know, you can sign up for notifications that'll go directly to your phone when there's breaking news and things like that, to get our articles. So I just want to alert people. I think it's a great app. Go get it. Sign up for it, especially those that have the iPhone. I know it's out and available for that. Check it out. Download it. I think you'll like it, and it'll be one of your go-to apps to get, you know, Packers news on the go. So go sign up for that. We'll see you, folks. We'll be back again on Friday. Already got it set up. We have an interview. I teased this weeks ago, and things didn't work out with Packers linebacker Joe Thomas. Is joining us for an interview on Friday. We had hoped to have him on a few weeks ago. Things didn't work out timing-wise, but we fixed it. We got him on the show. Interview this Friday will air, so looking forward to that. So good to have a Packers player joining us on the show. Always good when that happens. So looking forward to that. We'll see you Friday, folks, 8:30 a.m. Central time, the live edition of the show, podcasted on demand later in the day. Have a good day, folks. I leave you with a song called Rosie by the String Cheese Incident on Psy Fidelity Records. See everyone. Go, Pack, go.